Philippians chapter 2. If you're on the app there, you can click and you can get the scripture. If you're using your phone or your tablet, flip over there. Hope you got a program as you came in. You flip that over on the back and and you can take some good notes. We're going to finish up this section today. and I'm excited about that. Philippians 2, stand with us if you're willing and able to read God's word. If you're listening in your car going down the road, you are exempt. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. We started this last time. We're going to finish, Lord willing, this section. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. If Ephesians 6 is the verse for children, then Philippians 2:14 is certainly the verse for teenagers. And all the parents said, and all the adults said, oh me, I still struggle with that too. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. We come to what we would call an end time or an eschatological kind of thing. He's looking toward eternity now. He's looking toward the way things wrap up. That I have not run in vain. He uses an athletic term. Neither labored in vain. He uses an agricultural term. That I have not so conditioned myself and labored so that I lose or that I am a failure here. I know I'm not, is what he's saying, stating the negative. And I know that the way that I've worked so hard like a farmer was not for nothing. I've not run or labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For this same cause, or for the same cause rather, also do ye joy and rejoice with me. If you circle, highlight in your Bible, verse 16, rejoice. Verse 17, joy, rejoice. Verse 18, joy and rejoice. He's wanting to drive a point home. Nod your head. If you hear that many times, this is easy enough to catch. What he's saying, if you'll wrap this up this way, I'll be happy, God will be happy, or rejoicing, and you'll be rejoicing. And so I'm in. What are we talking about here? I've entitled it, Joy and Holy Living for God. This is our second part here. Pray with me right now. Lord, from front to back, left to right, side to side, would you help us? Help us to hear, understand, and obey the word. Father, would you just speak to our hearts? Would you help me? May I speak clearly, enunciate well? Pray you give me strength, Lord, to keep my pitch up, to be energetic so it's easy to listen to. But more than that, would you just minister in our hearts? Would you help us? Would you right now receive all the glory from whatever's done? Thank you. We got to sing. Got to sing a hymn, got to sing some new songs, got to stand in honor of the word. We got to fellowship a little before service. Thank you for all the blessings of the morning, but thank you right now. Would we feed and feast on the word, and would it marvelously change our lives? Would you help us, Lord? And Father, if there are those who are under the sound of my voice, and Lord, they have never asked, they have never received the gift of salvation, they have never experienced the changed life from the grace of God, I pray that today be the day that you save them. Lord, help us. Help me, Father. Lord, I love you and I need you. I pray all this in your Son's precious name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Joy and holy living for God. I need a little survey here. Brandon, can you help me out? Just as we get into that, I need a little bit of feedback here. Just a little bit. How many of you, you're coming to Christ was because of a family member? In other words, they introduced you, they dragged you to church, something like that. Okay, Brandon, how many? Oh, just How many we got? About eight? Okay. I would have said about 18, but that's good. That's why I got somebody else counting. And all our kids here, all our young folks, please, you can, your elementary, middle school, those kind of things, you can depart thensely. I need to make myself a big note up here. All right, very good. You're good. I keep seeing adults going, sounds like it's more fun back there. How many of you, all right, it was a family member. How many of you, it was just a normal course of a church service? It wasn't really somebody, or maybe somebody thought you knew Christ, but it was just a normal course of a service or a special service. Anybody? That's when you came to Christ, saved you from your sins. Anybody like that? So one family, one the other. How many of you, it was a coworker? Coworker talked to you about the Lord? Coworker, okay. How many of you, it was just a friend or a neighbor? Friend or a neighbor? All right, that. I don't know what else to ask. That means most of you are lost. How many of you was something else? A few of you. All right. That still leaves a third of you. How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what? It's okay. But a lot of times it's family, right? It's family and then the neighbors, those kind of things. Anybody was just a total stranger? Maybe I can say like that. I mean, just a stranger and wouldn't let you go kind of thing. Just stayed on you or introduced you. All right. I suppose special service. That's it. I meant sort of special service. Okay. Revival camp, something like that. Conference. Okay. Good deal. There's a common denominator here. And most of that common denominator is somebody was involved in your life. Coworker, friend, neighbor, family member. Somebody was involved in your life. Occasionally, it's a little different, but most folks didn't walk in. I've known just so few who just kind of stumble in a service. But most of the time, it's somebody. Somebody is working on, especially here and where we live. It's not exactly the case when you go to the Northwest, when there's not a lot of gospel history, those kind of things. Everybody is new. So many folks are new to the gospel. When we're talking about this, and when we're wrapping up in here and looking at this, Paul's going to talk about shining as lights in the world, being lights in a crooked and perverse thing. And I want to remind you, we're not talking abstractly here. We're really not. We're talking about the same way that so many of you were introduced to the gospel of Christ. We're talking about the same way, the same joy that you experienced when you came to Christ and the same joy that somebody else experienced when they introduced you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not talking about one of these, not trying to make you feel bad or feel guilty. We're talking about one of the greatest things you can do is introduce somebody to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ramp up, if I could here, just give us a little bit of running start from where we were last time, and then we're going to head in this. Is that okay if I do a little bit of a running start? That okay? It doesn't really matter because it's what I'm going to do anyway, but I'd like your permission. And he turns it and he goes here and he switches gears and he says, we're going to talk about the church. We're going to talk about the individual. We're going to talk about working out your own salvation in this context of a church and making sure we don't murmur and complain in the context of church. But we're also talking about, again, this is from last time, we're also going to talk about it in the sense of you growing in grace, you becoming more Christ-like, becoming more Christ-like. How many of you think that a church with a bunch of people who need to come to Christ and who have come to Christ, who are becoming more like Christ, is exactly what kind of a healthy church ought to be, right? There ought to be some babies, ought to be some toddlers, ought to be some folks who are a little more mature. That's the way 1 John talks about folks. There ought to be all those kind of mixes, amen? If everybody's just in here navel-gazing, I don't think that's very much of a healthy church. If everybody's in here and they hadn't opened their Bible from week to week, and they hadn't prayed from week to week, and it's a bunch of spiritual pygmies, then there are going to be problems, right? Bunch of worldly people, bunch of folks that, man, haven't really been practicing the disciplines of godliness. And so we're here, and he's turned this focus. And so I've got just a few things. He starts off there in verse 12. He says, work out your own salvation. See it through to completion. See it through to completion. Cooperate with what God's doing in your heart and your life. That word there, work out, means to work out to the finish, to completion, perfection. Complete the effort. Don't just start. Your Christian life didn't stop when you were baptized. When you repented of your sins, it just began there. God is doing a work in you and through you. And see it through. If you're not growing in Christ, we said, it's not God's fault. It's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's your fault. It's your fault you have a dirty Bible. It's your fault you're not learning verses. It's your fault you're not involved in His work and what He's doing there. Make sure you understand that. How many of us are good at excuses? Anybody besides the preacher? How many of us are excellent at excuses? How many of you have an excuse why you didn't raise your hand? It's like nine of you. Yeah. Aren't we? The preacher preached better. Look, I'm sorry. If my wife would write better sermons, I'd preach better sermons. We've been here about a year. God came out and gave my wife what for, and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And he kind of stomped off. And I went, I'm not saying that anymore in the service, because some people don't understand humor. It's not that. We've got Christian radio. We've got all kind of stuff on the internet. There's whole book industries that are out there. If you're not spiritually growing, it isn't anybody's fault but yours. Because God's at work in you. And God is commanding us to do that and to dig in. Find you a small group. Be accountable to someone. Start learning the scriptures. Be faithful to church. Continue to do these things. Make sure that you're doing it. And he uses these three geography points. And I love it. He says, you've always obeyed. You've always obeyed. In the New Testament, particularly here in Paul's letters, in the book of James even, faith in Christ is always connected to obedience in Christ. They're not divorced. Somebody asked me to pray for somebody this week, and they said they made a decision when they were a kid, and they hadn't been to church since. And they're so concerned for their soul. Why? Because there's been no changed life. There's been no evidence of obedience. I'm not talking about perfection. Heaven help us. The only one that was perfect was Jesus Christ. I'm talking about growth. Incremental growth, small growth. Upset because you're not growing. Faith in Christ here. And he uses geography. And he said, you've always obeyed not only in my presence, that's when he was with him, and in my absence, but now I want you to continue growing in fear and trembling. To their Greek ears, they heard, that's how you act in front of a king. That's the awe that you feel. To their Jewish ears, they heard, that's how they did in the Old Testament. That's how they remembered they were in the presence of God. You live this way. And you give it your all to grow in the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, to not stop, but to see it through, remembering that you are in His very presence. Things change when we remember we're in the presence of God. Things get better when we're in the presence of God. How many of you got somebody in your life, man, you just feel better when they're around? How many of you feel you've got somebody in your life and you straighten up and do a little better when they're around? Some of you are pointing right now. Man, there's that awesomeness that comes there. He says, remember this. And he's doing this in the context of a church here. And I didn't say this last time. And again, we're just really ramping up really, really quick. I need you to stay with me. Your growth in Christ is always connected here. It's not divorced. Not divorced. I said it. Again, I don't want to re-preach everything. I just want to, I get lots of odd things, I promise. And I'm so sorry about those things. But we need to be together. We need to assemble together. I need Keith to know that I'm praying for him. Excuse me. I need Jonah to tell me where he buys those cool pants. I need that. I need Roy to walk out the door today and say, is there anything I can do for you, preacher? We need one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to edify one another. We need to, hey man, I missed you. What's going on? Hey, you're having a hard time. Let me pray for you. Man, you're going through the valley of the shadow. Let me let you know that you're not alone. and that everything, we're going to be here together. You need this. And in the context of a church, he's talking to them about growth. Remember to act in concert with what God's working on your life. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. John MacArthur said, will has to do with the word, and to do there has to do with obedience. Remember, you always start with the word and work out. And it is God who is doing this for his good pleasure, for his good pleasure. Remember to act in concert there, verse 13, with what God's doing in your life. That word work is energizing. God stirs us. He energizes. He arouses us in the heart of the believer to do his will. Aren't you glad God's interested in you living right? Aren't you glad God's still working in your heart and your life? Aren't you thrilled that God says that's right and that's wrong? Aren't you thrilled God's saying, man, I know you don't feel well this morning. Get up and go. Be in service. Engage with other people. Aren't you? You may be tired, man. It's time to read the word. You may not think your mind's as sharp as it used to be, but it's time to do that. And God is working and God is stirring and God is leading. Man, I was so unsure. So unsure. I don't like doing anything connected with Halloween. I just don't. I feel like you lose no matter what you do. I don't like it, and people are goofy. So I was just as convinced as I could be, man, we needed to, and I was so insured, you know, 150 to 200 cars later and 450 people later and 450 people getting a gospel tract and gospel and an invitation to church and newspaper coming out and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going, man, God, I'm glad we listened to you. I'm glad we told some people about you. I'm glad we introduced some people. There's a church here on the corner of Reagan Road in Hardin Valley that loves them and it cares for their soul. Man, I'm glad, God, you are working in us and doing this. And he starts and he says, talk differently. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. The word murmur there is something else. it's a word that has the idea of grumbling and complaining. Somebody says, what's a sin that the church is guilty of? Let me help you. Grumbling and complaining. Somebody said, I like the New Testament better than the old. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. In the Old Testament, you know, when they grumbled against the preacher, what happened? The bears came out of the woods and ate everybody. You wouldn't have to worry about it long. It was pretty much instantaneous kind of thing. If you grabbed the cheese, the mousetrap snapped. God does what? God's saying, you don't do this. I've said it. You want to mess up a church, you start grumbling and complaining. Linton, Curtis Linton. Curtis Linton's about 6'3", 300 pounds, easy, big guy, pastors, a church out in Oklahoma. Curtis said, here's what happens. Here's what happens. Two folks get out of sorts with each other. He said, and everybody takes sides. I mean, I understand. I mean, it's hard to have an argument not take sides. I'm never saying they're not disagreement. That's not what he's talking about. He's not at all what he's talking about. He said it's like those old Godzilla movies. Anybody remember those Godzilla movies? It's like those Godzilla movies. So you got Godzilla over here and you got Mothra over here. And they're swinging, they're fighting. You got laser breath coming out, all this kind of jazz. And they get done, they just kind of walk off. Or actually, they lumber off, don't they? Boom, boom, those little guys and the puppets. And but you look down there and the poor little Japanese people are toast. All their cars are squished, the buildings are rung over, and Godzilla just, you know, goes back in the water, and Mothra flies off. That's what happens sometimes. The people that are around when folks aren't living like they're supposed to with their speech, they get stomped to death. They get destroyed. You watch a young believer and get in the middle of some of that, and all of a sudden, man, they don't understand why these people have been with Christ so long. Why aren't they doing what they're supposed to do? In the context of a church, it is vital here. Again, man, the number of dumb things I've done. If you say amen, you got to go. The number of dumb things I've done. The number of things I've had to back up and go, that was me. I goofed. I'm sorry. Good gracious. you need that. You got to do that. Man, I'm glad for some people going, are you sure we need to do this? You sure? You know, man, I'm, you got to appreciate that. We've invited all this feedback from our the trunk or treat thing. And man, I need it because you saw what I didn't see. You felt the way I didn't feel. Again, even if I thought I did a good job here, it doesn't matter because we can do a little better. We got to communicate a little better. I've had several people say, I didn't even know we were doing anything last Saturday. And I went, we just got to communicate better. We just learn from it. Keep on going. There's a reason the name of the church isn't Hardin Valley Church or Rodney. It ain't my church. It's the Lord's church. And it's our fellowship together. And God is the one who deserves praise. And we need to be listening to what He's doing in our lives. Talk differently. Refuse to complain, gossip, or cause unnecessary division. Refuse to. Live differently. Again, just quickly, go to verse, go to verse 15. You may be blameless, harmless, sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation. Live differently. Walk in integrity there. Walk in integrity. Be blameless. Be innocent. Don't be mixed. Isn't it odd? People say they love Jesus in their mouth, and what comes out of it should not be. I heard a guy say one time, he said, I'd almost rather someone use profanity than to profane the name of Christ, use His name in vain. You ought to be cooperating in what God's Spirit's doing in your life, and you ought to clean up your speech. I used to jokingly say, if you're going to do like that, please don't tell anybody where you go to church. Why? Because, man, you're giving a bad testimony of who the Lord is. I understand you're growing. I understand that. But, man, God help us. God help us when nobody can pick us out of a lineup that we belong to Him. You ought to be living differently. Somebody say amen to that. It isn't just about, I believe. Remember, the devils believe and tremble. Has God changed your life? Is He changing your life? I think one of the most powerful things you can do, by the way, if you find yourself slipping up and sinning or whatever, and you do that in front of a lost person, man, go to them saying, I should never have done that. I should never have said that. I should never have laughed at your joke. I shouldn't have done that. In other words, things are pure. They are not mixed. I said at the end of the service last week, you ought to live in such a way that anybody could take your phone and look through it and never be ashamed. Truth of the matter is, most of us live divided lives. He said, don't live a divided life, live a unified life. Be consistent in your living differently. Living differently. He says, you ought to shine like the stars. You ought to witness differently. You ought to witness differently. Look at the end of the verse there. In the verse, you still with me? Say amen. That you shine as lights in the world. He says you live in a crooked and perverse generation. I wrote like four things down to say. And then, you know, the week has gone. I just couldn't believe the political world would get any crazier. And I was wrong. And holy moly. And I wrote it down. I said, well, if I say that, these folks will be offended if I say that. And so I just said, okay, I'll just say nothing and people will be offended that I didn't say anything. And man, what a time. I'm kind of joking. We're going to pray for our country at the end of the service. What a time to walk straight and to be undivided and to be pure, and to be people of biblical integrity when the whole world is just seems like it's as crooked as it can be. Amen? To honor Christ and how we live when everybody else is just after theirs, when there's no sense of biblical ethics, it seems like, when there's no sense of living for Him. What a time to do this. What time to do this? The word there is the word for luminary. Luminary. Anybody... Christmas time, Thanksgiving, maybe even July 4th, something, you put little candles in white wax bags and little sand in there, and you had it in your driveway. Anybody ever seen that? Luminaries or anything like those kind of deals? we did first, maybe the first Christmas we were here, and I wanted to have a candlelight service, but I was worried about getting candle wax everywhere. Anybody think that's a good idea not to have candle wax everywhere? And so I found these lights online, little fingertip lights, and they were really cheap. And so we got a box of them, like 500, and I'd never seen them before. I didn't pay any attention. So for the candlelight service, we all had this little light of mine, you know, and the kids had them all over their hands and stuff like that. And then somebody came up and they said, "Pastor, this is neat." Said, "I'd never been to a church that had rave lights." And I said, "Beg pardon?" And yeah. Before I got saved, this is what they did. Hand you out the door, and the lights would be real low, and everybody had these rave lights, and it was great. And this is cool, man. And I was like, okie dokie. And so we don't have those anymore. anyway, I never remember. So some of you are going, "I wish I'd have been there." And so, of course, we had the candles back the next year, and we set a chair on fire. So this year, bring your flashlight. And we're here. When you're talking about you being a light bearer, it's really an idea from Daniel 12. It's an idea about being a star in the night. You ought to be some point of reference for a lost person. Shine as lights in a dark world. Be the North Star to them. Be the light in the foggy environment that they can see. Be the lighthouse to the ship that's coming to shore. Be that beacon of hope to them. Let me help you. They are watching you. They are watching you. How do you know? Because in your neighborhood, 12 cars stayed home and one car went. They know you do things differently. They know you, how you act on the job. Be the beacon of light to them. Shine as lights in the world. Let's witness differently. Your integrity provides what is needed. One writer said it like this. Paul wants the church to be a proclaiming church, not a complaining church. And I say amen. One of the hard things right now in the political climate is we get stuck. And we're like, God lost. If your party didn't win, or your Senate candidate didn't win, or your governor didn't win, it's like every election, that's the way we act, isn't it? If who we thought should win didn't win, we go, "Man, God," we act that way. No, we ought to act what? "Man, God has already won. Christ has already accomplished a victory on the cross and the resurrection. We live in that victory now. And our job is to help men and women, boys and girls, come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean the other is not important. But I want to make sure that I am living in such a way and witnessing in such a way that they can understand." I heard it for years and years. We want to change the abortion culture in the country. Man, we just need to see people come to Christ. When they understand they're made in the image of God and the likeness of God, and that child's made in the image and likeness of God, we'll change the whole debate. Everybody keeps coming at it politically. I keep trying to tell everybody we need to come at this thing spiritually. And man, if we understand that precious child is a gift from Almighty God, his arrows in the quiver of a man, so he blesses him. And we look at life as a blessing and not as a burden, and then things change. By the way, that's true in the whole world, not just here in the States. We got to do things, shine this way. Be that beacon. He says, holding forth the word of life. If you look in there, verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice. Share the scripture. Share the scripture. How do we do that? Let me offer you three quick ways to do it. You need to learn the Bible. You can learn some verses from Ephesians. You can learn what we call the Romans Road. Learn the Bible. Say, I'm not much on learning and remembering. Then carry it with you. Carry it with you. I was at my house one day. Guy come tooling up in the driveway, and he said, "Preacher, in about 30 seconds, a guy's going to be here." And I said, "Okay." He said, "He needs to be saved, and I don't know how to do it, but I knew where you lived. I figured you were the man for the job." I was T-shirt, shorts, and what do you call them, house slippers. I'd gone outside to get the paper. And I said, he said, "Here he comes." And I said, "All right." He got out, and he said, he said, I'm a rotten guy. And he started listing all the things he'd done wrong. And long story short, man, right there in the yard, we knelt in the cold grass, or the cool grass, and led this guy to the Lord and walked through the plan of salvation with him. And of course, God had already plowed his heart, and God, he made his profession of faith there. And I look at my friend in the church, and he's crying. And he's like, I know all that I knew. He said, but I knew enough to get him here. And look, I'm telling you, man, learn the Bible. But if you're struggling there, get him to somebody who knows the Bible. Give him somebody who knows the Bible. Don't just tell them good luck, pat them on the head. Man, they're sin sick. They need to know the gospel. They need to understand what Christ did for them. You know what will fuel that is you pray for the unsaved and unchurched. Probably the most watched tape sermon we did during the whole quarantine was about this subject. I question your sentiment. I promise. I say there's something missing. If there's not people you're praying for to come to Christ. Let me say it differently. Who are you praying for to come to Christ? Who are you pulling for? Who are you up early for? Who are you over your lunch break praying for? Who's important enough to you that you can't stand the thought that they'll spend an eternity apart from God in an awful, terrible place called hell? It's a whole lot easier to be a light, a beacon, a luminary. It's a whole lot easier to hold forth a word that gives life there, the life-changing word to do that. Man, when you're praying for them, let me help you. And I'm thrilled to know so many of you who do that. And you're burdened for family, and you're burdened for coworkers, you're burdened for neighbors, and you're calling out their name. By the way, I think that's part of a joyful church is I can't wait to see them saved. I can't wait to see them come to Christ. And Paul said, you get to do this. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel in every creature. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Ask the Lord for opportunities. Ask the Lord for opportunities. Well, God, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity just to speak about how good you are. Give me an opportunity to do that. You heard Katie Spear at the market, at the place. A little redheaded girl who's in the first, second grade class there in the school. And she's speaking English, she's speaking all this, and she sticks out and she's friendly. And these parents know who she is and they're approaching her. Tell me about her being sick. Tell me about your daughter almost dying. Tell me how the God that you talk about saved her from death. And she gets not only to talk about how he saved her from death, but how the God who did that can save them from their sins. Ask the Lord for opportunities. We hit pause a little while back. We're going to pick back up. Some of you have been going through the Replicate book with us. There's powerful questions in there. Have you talked to anybody about the Lord this week? And the second question, have you even tried? Have you even tried? Live differently. Witness differently. And the last one, keep score differently. Keep score differently. You may have played any kind of game with a younger child lately. What's the one thing, maybe you can just remember, what's the one problem with playing a competitive game with younger children? Anybody? Over competitive, yeah, too competitive, always want to win. Somebody else. What's that? All right. That wasn't what I was looking for. That may be true. If anybody needs encouragement, it's sitting over here behind Roy. And as our teacher back there in the back. They change the what all the time, Julie? Yeah, they cheat. They change the rules. They change the rules. They cheat. You play, what's the game with chutes and ladders? They play chutes and ladders. And if they shoot in ladders, what do they do? They go, ha, 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 ha. You know, you turn your back, you're playing the game of life, they got all the money. You know, I hadn't ever figured out how little kids cheat at phase 10. I barely understand how to play, and I'm older. And, you know, they're sitting there, you know. And if you win, what do? They accuse you of what? Cheating. Throw things and all. And I always hated, I'm halftime hated to play a game because I knew what was coming. I was about to paddle somebody. Usually it was Andre. And I'm kidding. And some of you are like, okay, I woke up now. And, you know, because they can't stand it when you change that. Keep that in mind. Look at the last few verses here. You got your Bible still open. You got your notepad stuff. Look at the last few verses. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I have not run, athletic word, in vain. Labored, agricultural, farmer word, in vain. Yea, yes, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice in service. He goes back to those Old Testament ideas, the idea of the priesthood. Of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also I joy and you rejoice with me. He's going to talk about how he labors. He's going to talk about doing the things that really matter. Keep score differently. What matters is people come to Christ. What matters is the church God started. What matters is that you grow in Christ. What matters is you make sure that you took care of all the the stuff that was starting to go on there to the Philippian church, the church of Philippi. What matters is what matters to God. Don't spend your life this way. In other words, he's saying if you start back verse 3 and run all the way through, when you get really excited about people coming to faith in Christ, when you get really excited about seeing them grow in Christ and see God work in their life, when you start doing that, then all of a sudden there's the rejoicing that's going to take place. I was on a panel, national panel, and they were interviewing and got to the end of it, and everybody was saying, what do you want for the next 10 years and all? And I said, hair, eyebrows. And they said, really, what do you want? I said, there is nothing like a bunch of new baby Christians in our churches that wouldn't fix so many of the problems that we've got right now in America. All we do is throw rocks and act foolish about some things we don't need to act foolish about, and we swap sheep and we do all this kind of crazy mess instead of going out in the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come in, instead of inviting them to the risen, see the risen, to follow the risen Christ. There's so many things that are going on. And Paul said, if you do this, then I want you to know, I don't feel like I've labored in vain or run in vain. Because you're living right and the church is doing well. This is why I'm still here. This is why I rejoice. And when you get on board that same page, you're going to rejoice and you're going to have joy. Keep score differently. What counts now is what matters later. He says, in the day of Christ. D.L. Moody famously been quoted, most sobering thought I've ever had entertained upon my mind, is that I will one day give an account to God. One day give an account to God. I used to have to fix my students. They'd say, we're going to be waiting in a long line to get up there to see Jesus, and stuff will be on a big screen and all that, and that's colorful, but probably not exactly right. The omnipresent God can talk to everybody all at the same time. The Bible says in Revelation, his eyes were as a flame of fire. He looked right through me. We will know exactly what we will. God will look right through us at those moments, and we will understand. And we will understand, I think, what we could have done, what we should have done. Why? Because he talks about reward and loss of reward. He talks about wood, hay, and stubble being burned up. He talks about the gold and the silver and the precious jewels that we'll be able to cast at his feet. What we get to do for God, we get to do now. You want to have joy? Make sure you're doing what matters for eternity. Value what matters for eternity. How you give, how you live, how you serve, all those things. He says, I want to meet you. He's not talking about how he's going to die. He's talking about how he's living. He says, if I be poured out. We have fancy words for it now. Call it deglazing or scraping up the fond. And or those kind of things, or adding some aromatics, and you pour a chicken stock or beef stock or something, and the stuff releases. It smells great. He says, because what we're talking about, I'm glad to be poured out right now. The gospel, it's a life worth living and a death worth dying and a Christ and a church worth serving. We learned that in chapter 1. I'm okay doing this. I'm okay giving extra time. I'm okay serving. I'm okay giving. It's all right. I'm okay being in jail right now because of what God is doing in your life. How many of you, that sounds like a joyful way to live? So many well-meaning people. I got it last week. I can't believe you're blah blah blah. I want to go. What else is there to do? He's worthy. I can't do what I used to do, but I can do something, and I'm going to do something as long as I can do something, because he's worth it. Let me help you, because you're worth it, because God's at work, because it's a great joy to see people grow in Christ and see those things and what God's doing. Isn't that the way we all ought to live? I got the time now to serve him, and what I do now is what should matter, because I'm keeping score differently. Anybody a good gift buyer? I mean, you feel like you always knock it out of the park, or gift time, birthday time, anniversary, Christmas, anybody? Nobody. How many of you were being falsely modest? Anybody you like pulling your hair out December 23rd going, I mean, I just really messed you up, because you're like, I only got 6 more weeks or 7 more weeks. Yeah. What if I could say to you, if you'll just believe me, you will have exactly the right thing. You'd be interested, wouldn't you? Let me help you. What if I could tell you, I can tell you exactly what God's interested in. No rule changes, no wondering. Absolutely, positively what pleases him. Verse 13, the will and the do of his good pleasure. Verses 17 and 18. I do this so that I will rejoice in the day of Christ, so that I have joy now. And I'm commanding you to do the same thing, that you would joy and rejoice when you get these things in priority. When you are holding forth the word of life, you understand that your life invested in the lives of others in the service of the King of Kings is a way to have unbelievable joy. This is the eternal outlook on life. It is what matters and what should matters. See, joy then has nothing to do with circumstances. Gordon Fee says, but everything to do with our position and place in Jesus. Hey, life is, I can tell you how to have joy. Oh, I can tell you how to get rid of it too. Yeah. Off it goes. Boy, isn't he worthy? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me introduce you to my friend. Let me tell you how you can, and the greatest joy in your life is seeing somebody you've loved on and prayed for, and that God loves even more, come to saving knowledge of faith in Christ. And that's what the Philippian church is full of. It's full of these people, and he's reminding them, this is how you rejoice, not for the coming persecution, not for the fact that I'm in jail, not because things aren't working out the way they're supposed to, but because God has saved you, and God wants to save them from their sins and change their life just like he's done with you. Man, isn't that something? For this cause I rejoice. I joy and rejoice. And you can too. Who are you working on, praying for, asking God to give you an opportunity to introduce to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Pray with me right now.